is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing this song. Let the worshipers arise. You may be seated if you wish. But if you want to arise, you can stay standing. It says, let the worshipers arise. So it's up to you. Amen. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Yes, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. And let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Song of your redeemed as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise this morning. Oh, let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to. Let's sing that last verse once again. Oh, Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of His redeemed. We have opened up the seals, and now the bride will see. Brand new revelation, the song of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is our King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, He's worthy. Send the daughters sing. Just worship Him this morning. Oh, I surrender in my all. Surrender to the King. Oh, let the worshiper rise. Oh, He's worthy of all your praise. Send the daughter sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender. Let's sing, let the worshipers arise. One more time. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Once again. Worshippers arise, and let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all. to the King. Won't you give the Lord a clap of praise as Brother Colley comes?
Amen. God bless us. We thank the Lord that we're able to come together to worship again. There's so many things that the Lord have for us, and we will just take time to receive it.
Amen.
I remember once when I was working, a lady come and told me before she went home that her stomach had been giving her trouble for quite a while. I said, "We'll take this prayer cloth and wear it close to your heart or sleep with it on your pillow and see what happened." Well, she come back the next morning, she told me, "So, well, it worked. So I haven't had any more problem with it, my stomach, since then."
Thank you, Lord.
But she thought then for a minute, said, "Well, can you give me another one to play my numbers with?"
Oh.
I said, "Not, they are not for that. Not for that. But if you believe, believe God, what He promised, we'll give it to you." Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful, Lord, for all the promises that you have made. Lord, let our hearts be surrendered that we may receive and walk in what you promised. Lord, you will heal our bodies. You will deliver our souls. God, we know if we can just believe, Lord, we can receive. God, help us, guide us. Lord, for everyone that's present, if they have a problem of any type, Lord, we ask you to just turn it over to you, Lord, and believe it. We ask you to remember the service this morning, Lord, and bless it. Bless the minister, Father, that he may bring forth unto us what we have need to hear. God, I pray that we be surrendered to receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 14. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him.
He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather my saints together unto me, these that have made covenant with me by sacrifice.
And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judged himself.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God.
I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, for thy burnt offerings, that have been continually before me.
I will take no bullocks out of thy house, nor goats out of thy folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle
I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
If I were hungry, I should not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Will I eat the fields of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pray thy vows unto the Most High. God bless you. May be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. If he knows every fowl of the mountain and every cattle on a thousand hills, why would he not know about your problem?
Amen.
And about what you're going through? Amen. Aren't you more than a sparrow? Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, Brother Kali speaking about those prayer cloths. Amen. We got throughout the time in Nicaragua that we've been going, we've given prayer cloths to couples who've been wanting to have children. And Christine got several pictures gathered together of 6 to 7 couples that we've given prayer cloths to, and they've all had 1 to 2 children already. all of them have. So it's not the prayer cloth, amen, it's the faith in God, amen, that the prayer cloth's been anointed and we prayed for, and God answers his word, amen. God has to answer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask, Morty. Is Morty back there? And if he can come and take up our offering. Come on, Morty. Amen. Praise the Lord. As he takes that up, let's just sing Greater Than All My Sins. Key of C, Brother Boyd, if you want to get ready for your testimony after we sing this.
Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me, is the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for He's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me, is the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for He's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. One more time. Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me, is the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. Brother Boyd, I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. I cannot fall. Oh, I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. I guess, let me share with you. I know all of you that's been here at church know that I've had experiences with kidney stones. Had 5, as a matter of fact. Anybody else had more than 5? It's not fun. A lot of pain. Very painful. But I've learned how to raise my pain level so that I can tolerate pain. But around September 18th, I had a pain hit me in my back, a little higher than what would have been a kidney stone, but I thought it was a kidney stone, so I carried it around for a week or two. And then I decided I'd go to the doctor and get it checked out, and we did a urine test and everything we normally do when he checks me. And He calls me, that was around the 18th. On the 21st, he called me and said, there's no evidence of a stone. And I said, where's the pain coming from? He said, I don't know. He said, I'm going to order you an MR. I get a call about the MRI, and they said, you need to come in. So here's what they found. Your body's full of cysts. The right flank pain you have could be caused by a cancer of the kidney. You have cysts scattered on your liver. Your spleen. Your pancreas has a 7 millimeter cyst with lesions 3 millimeters in length. Both kidneys have cysts, 2.4 by 2.3 centimeters, 8 by 7 millimeter lesion. Lymph nodes, 8 millimeter cysts. Both lungs. So we can only imagine from September to now what I've been walking in. It's affected my breathing. At some point I told Wade, I said, I may have to give up singing because my lung capacity doesn't feel like it's right. I'd stop. You'll see me stop in the middle of a verse or so. So they said I had 5 gallstones, okay? On top of that, like I needed something else. So he said the right pain, the flank pain, and Amy's looked at my charts and talked about the, you know, I said, what causes that pain? How long? What about the pain? And he says, well, this is what happens in that cyst of burst, and it's like releasing stuff in your body. So we're going to watch it. So I come back. The pain gets a little sharper, and because when I had osteomyelitis in 2007, if Brother Dale remembers, they thought that was cancer at one time. And we got through that. The Lord healed me before I was supposed to finish my 45-day treatment. Well, anyway, so he comes back and says, I'm going to do another MRI. I came up here on New Year's Eve, and the brother preaching, I laid hands on me and prayed. Wednesday, brother, laid hands. This MRI on the 27th, my mother's birthday. Here's the result. Minimum increase in the size of ectopic lesions. Follow up in 12 months. Findings in the abdomen, liver, normal. No gallstones. No increase in lesions.
Right. Oh,
but come back in 12 months. I need some more money.
Oh. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. He's still a mighty healing God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does God still work miracles or not? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's showing the devil, I'm still here. I'm still fighting. Amen. Praise God. I'm not giving up until he says I'm done. Amen. Amen. What if Brother Boyd just sat down all these 12, these last few months and just said, I'm not serving God anymore. I got cysts in my body and stuff. That's what the devil wanted him to do. You persevere. Because God made a promise. And he's able to keep his promise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Boyd. We're going to continue to pray for you. Amen. That in 12 months, that same result will be the same. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to have I think the young people have, or the kids have a special. So if they want to come up at this time. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You just keep praising him while they're coming up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God.
Every day.
He's still God.
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen.
Come, follow me, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men.
Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen.
Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men.
Come,
follow me, Jesus said, and I will make fishers of men.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men.
Thank you, Lord.
Sister Renee, y'all, come on. Rachel, did you have a special thing? You'll be next. Just to have Sister Renee here with us.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is great. I pray for your healing, the circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. Name. Come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit is now forever yours. Come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the mighty name of Jesus. All things are possible. I pray for your healing, circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Appreciate that special. Appreciate our young ones singing that previous one as well. Amen. Appreciate the Lord.
If I could count the tears that have fallen, it would seem like an ocean to me. If my heart was a window that the whole world could look through, all the pain and scars you would see. But tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of glory. For the heart will never break anymore. I question the loss of a loved one. The grave seems so final and cold. Where death has no victory, in a land where we'll never grow old. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of glory. For the heart will never break anymore. I've never met one man without sorrow. I've never looked into eyes with no pain. But I know a land where grief is a total stranger, and songs of joy are the only songs we'll sing. Oh, tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of glory. For the heart will never break anymore. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Gates of glory. For the heart will never break anymore. For the heart will never break anymore.
Appreciate that, Brother Michael. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing this song. Being that it's Resurrection Day, let's just sing this song, that same spirit. And then as Brother Wade is getting ready to come up and have Brother Daryl come, how many are ready for the word? We appreciate all the specials. We appreciate, amen, but I believe the word is the most important. Let's just sing about this.
Oh, Jesus said it. It's expedient for me to go away, but I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarried at Jerusalem for power from on high. That same spirit that they received within my heart abide. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this whole body up and take me home. Oh, do you believe that this morning? Well, they laid Him in an empty tomb, and they rolled a stone at the door. They put soldiers there to guard it. Oh, they thought they'd done away with my Lord. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away, and He came forth from the grave. And that same spirit that raised my Jesus up will take me home someday. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this whole body up and take me home someday. I can feel His Holy Spirit. Sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. That same spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise His whole body up and take me home someday.
feel so gentle. And sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. That same spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave will raise His whole body up and take me home someday.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One day they might label us a little bit Pentecostal. That's all right with me. We need to be alive. Amen. Get out of that refrigerator we've been in. There ain't nothing but icicles in the refrigerator.
Amen.
Amen. Get out of there and get in the oven for a little bit. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. We've got a house full. We had a bunch yesterday, and I appreciate everybody that worked yesterday to help the youth service go as smooth as it did. Thank you for coming. Thank you for participating. And we're looking forward to the next one. Like I said, Brother Jack Duff will be with us in March. All right, it'll be the third Saturday in March. For those of you that are here that would like to come, Brother Jack's a wonderful brother. Hadn't had him here in, well, years. So he's from Florida. But good to it'd be good to reattach with him a little bit. But we got Brother George Blaylock. Good to see you, buddy. Brother George kind of slides in, and then he kind of slides out. But he's with us all the time. He's with us all the time. Amen. So good to have you, Brother George. Good to have you with us always. And let's remember a couple announcements before we get started our service. We don't have a second service, so I told Brother Darrell, just take his liberty. We can sing. We can praise the Lord. Sometimes we don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. We want to just move. And if He moves, then we'll, you know what? Just praise God in the way that you're used to praising God. Amen. Amen. All right. Talk to Him like He's personal, like He's yours. All right. Saturday will be Bible study from 6 to 8 here. We'll start back to the normal Bible study, but it'll be every other Saturday, not every Saturday, because the other Saturday we will be having youth services every other Saturday. Those odd months. But February the 4th, we'll have Bible study again from 6 to 8. Bring your questions. There's no subject that we have. We'll start all over again. If you got plenty of questions, then we will, hopefully by the Lord's help, we'll all be able to answer it, the questions that we have. Also, remember February the 11th, the sign's been taken down, but most of you have already signed up, and we sure appreciate that. The banquet will be at Hidden Acres, where we always have it, had it before. There'll be a catered meal for each one of you to enjoy. There'll be pictures, dress up, and we will have games and prizes and a lot of prizes. And I want to thank Anna and Lisa and Mom and the different ones that helped to get this one together, because usually we have around 45 or 46 people come, but now we're going to have close to over 80, so... we opened it up so we can bring somebody if we wanted to, and we've got some wonderful people that are coming. That weekend will be jam-packed. Sunday, we may have to put seats out because there's a lot of people going to be staying over. We'll have the whole group. Yeah, the whole group from Ohio will be here, and we'll also have people that are coming in, Brother Daniel Perry, and some of those are coming. And so we're going to have a good weekend, and Brother Duck Scott will be speaking for a little short time on Saturday at night. And then on Sunday morning, he'll be bringing the service, and we'll only have one service on that Sunday. All right, everybody with me? Okay, so now also remember, I'll be speaking Wednesday night. Next Sunday afternoon, Brother Bob and Brother Luis will be giving their testimony about going to Nicaragua and showing pictures and videos and the different things. So we appreciate the Lord bringing them back and having a wonderful experience. Yes, we believe that there was things done. We believe the Lord worked in a mighty way. Might not have seen it all at one time, but when Christine was telling me about those babies being born, I remember her taking the prayer cloths over there, and I'm like, well, you know, sometimes you wonder, where do they go? What do they do? Well, we saw the fruit of that. We saw the kids. I told Brother Bob, I said, y'all can do this again. You're going to be dedicating a bunch of babies. Y'all go over there next year. Yeah. But that's all right. That was their desire, was to have a child, and they couldn't. That was their desire to have one. Well, you know what? God said He'd give you the desire of your heart. So today, if you got a desire to listen to the Word of God, Brother Darrell Ward is the brother that's going to bring it to you today. And he's going to be the vessel that God's going to use. We appreciate Brother Darrell. He's from Brother Donnie Reagan's church. there in Johnson City, Tennessee, and we really appreciate him. Humble, one of the humblest men I've ever known in my life. Very humble. Very humble man, and I appreciate him. You know what? He loves the Lord. That's what makes you humble. Well, if you love the Lord, amen. So let's sing. What do you want to sing? You want to sing? Open the eyes of my heart as our brother comes and just takes his liberty. Thank you, everyone, again for coming. Like I said, there won't be a second service, so just don't look at the clock. 12 o'clock, it ain't going to matter. You can go eat something somewhere else. But let's fellowship around the Word of God first. And then put all of our efforts in that. And then if you're still hungry, we'll go get a natural meal. Amen. So I want to thank all these youth for coming yesterday. Thank all, like I said before, the ones that are here that helped. I sure appreciate that. Without y'all, it would not ever be put on. It would be horrible if we had all one person had to do all this. So we sure appreciate it, and thank you very much. So let's sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" as Brother Darrell Ward from Johnson City, Tennessee, comes and brings a word to us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
You want to see him today? You gonna see me as well?
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Oh Jesus, I want to see you. To see you. Sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It would be something if you had a desire to see him, and yet there was no way that that could possibly be. How miserable we would be. But there's a deep that calls unto the deep. And if there's something in us longing to see him, that's the evidence there's a him for us to see. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Acts. I want to read from Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 1. And I know you've been here for a while, so we'll be just as quick as we can. And we pray the Lord to just bless you in a great way today. And we appreciate the testimonies. And I was thinking, he was talking about the prayer cloths while you're turning there. I remember, I think it was 2012 or 13. It was the year that Haiti had the earthquake, and we was in Nicaragua for the youth camp that year at a place called Skylark, and we had a huge prayer line that evening, and so we was tearing off pieces of our handkerchief and giving it to the young people and said, now, when the Lord meets your need, you send this back to us as a testimony of what the Lord did for you. And before the prayer line was over, those that was in front of the line was coming back around and giving us pieces of the prayer cloth back. The Lord, amen. It was wonderful. I remember one year there's a brother came through the prayer line. He was almost bent over at a 90-degree angle. I don't know if Brother Luis was there that year or not, but he was bent over almost, and he's a bricklayer, had blowed out his back laying brick, and he came through the prayer line, and before he got out the end of it, the Lord had healed the man, and he was standing straight up, and he shouted that place to the ground. It's just wonderful what God can do. And, amen. But he's the same right here in Lula, Georgia. Amen. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. We appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. And appreciate Brother Samuel and Brother Wade. Acts 28, 1. Do you love him?
Amen.
And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, I guess is how you say it. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And howbeit that they looked, and when he should have swollen up or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. How fast their opinion of Paul changed from being a murderer to a god when the snake venom met faith. And that's what we want to speak on this morning. When faith was met. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. I commit this congregation and myself into your hands for your glory in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, Brother Branham has taught us in the message, Perfect Faith. He says, perfect faith is the master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances, no matter what it is. It masters it. Now just watch, when you believe anything or do anything, you've got to have faith in what you're doing. We live in such a wishy-washy age when people are up and down, and one day they're on fire and the next day they're cold and one day they're going. But that's not what faith is. When we come through those doors, we need to come through those doors with a realization, I am here for a purpose. God could have put me in any age he wanted to put me in, but he put me in this age, amen. And he never put me here to fail, but he put me here to overcome. Hallelujah. I am a son of God. Whether I'm on the mountaintop shouting the victory, or whether I'm in the greatest battle of my life, it does not determine who I am. Amen. And when we come through those doors, we need to come with the realization, I am a son and a daughter of God, and I have come to wreak havoc on Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. Faith masters that circumstance regardless of what it is. You see, faith is not a hocus pocus. It's not a magic wand that you just wave over someone. Faith is not even what you feel. Faith is what you believe. Amen. And faith has to have a resting place. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is the foundation that faith rests upon. The Bible says in Romans 3:4, said, let God be true and every man a liar. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one word of God will fail us. Amen. Then we can sit here this morning with this confidence that God's word does not lie. Amen. Nations will lie to us. Amen. Governments will lie to us. Politicians, they'll lie to us. And sometimes even people who are close to us will lie to us. Our feelings will lie to us. Our emotions will lie to us. Our sensations will lie to us. But the Word of God, amen, will never lie to us. And every Word of God is just as true as every Word of God. It's either all true or none of it's true. The same God that said, let there be light. Is there light? Amen. Did God keep his word? Amen. That same God said, behold, I send you Elijah. Amen. Did he send him? Amen. Did he keep his word? Amen. That same God said, I am the Lord, thy God, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. And how does God prove his word to us? God proves his word to us by bringing it to pass. Oh, my. The prophet said, how I love him. God always keeps his word. God will keep his word every time. Not 99 times out of 100. Those are pretty good odds. I bet Vegas would like to have some odds like that. That may be good for Vegas, but it ain't good for God. Not 99 times out of 100, but 100 times out of 100. God will keep his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear what the word is saying to you. You see, it's a personal revelation. You're not going to go because you're sitting in a message church. The devil goes to a message church. Come on, somebody. But what is the new birth? It's not signing your name on a row. It's not shaking a preacher's hand. It's not packing a spoken word book. But what is the new birth? It's Christ revealed to you personally. Hallelujah. You have met this person. Amen. Oh, my. It's a personal revelation. You and the word personally. Hallelujah. Then no matter what the circumstance is, it don't got one thing to do with it. Well, the doctor says it's bad. The situation is impossible. Circumstances has nothing to do with it. When God says it'll be a certain way, it will be that way. I remember when my daughter was struck by a train and two of my family was killed and they gave us no hope. And the doctors that I worked with, I worked in surgery. I could read MRIs and CT scans and I knew all the medical terminology. And they were coming to me and putting their arm around me and telling me, we're sorry, Daryl. Your daughter's hurt too bad. She can't live. Her brain is damaged. But God spoke to me, hallelujah, sitting there in the waiting area at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he said, your daughter shall live. Then it don't matter what the doctor says. It don't matter what the CT scans. God's word is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you just imagine it. You can say what you will. All I know is she's 30 years old today. Hallelujah. Faith masters that circumstance. Amen. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. But he'll do it anyhow. Faith masters that circumstance. And many times God don't ask us to understand. Sometimes God says, can you just trust me? Can you trust me that whatever you're going through right now, it's for your good according to Romans 8:28. All things work to the good. Well, I don't understand it. Sometimes he don't ask us to understand, but say, can you trust me that whatever I'm doing in your life is bringing you to perfection? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith believes God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow. It masters all circumstance. You see, faith and love is a relation. You can't have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in a God who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. You see, if he loved me enough to die for me. Is that true? If he loved us enough to die for us, then don't he love us enough to heal us? Don't he love us enough to save me, to deliver me, to forgive me, to rapture me? You have faith in the God who loves you and faith in what the word is saying about you. Faith masters every circumstance because it's not what you feel. It's not what you see. We don't see with the eyes of our head. God gave us another set of eyes. The eyes of our heart, we see the unseen. We see what the eyes of the head cannot declare. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not what you see. It's not what you understand or what you reason out. It's what you believe. When you hear what the word is saying about you, then that word takes preeminence over every circumstance. When you see yourself in the scriptures,
like Mary, the prophet of God, said that Sunday, before that wash day on Monday, when they were sitting on the porch of Joseph's house, and then they was talking about the rabbi and about the sermon, and Mary said, you know, I think it'd be good if we just read some scriptures. And Joseph said, that's an excellent idea. And the prophet of God said, she went in there and pulled out the scroll of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. And he said, Mary said to Joseph, Joseph, dear, what would the prophet Isaiah mean, a virgin shall conceive? And he gave the most famous, profound statement that was ever spoke. He looked at Mary and said, I don't know. I don't know, but there's one thing I do know. If God said it, God will bring it to pass. And well, hallelujah. And the next day on the way down, on a blue Monday wash day, she ran into an angel who said, Hail Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And it was at that moment that Mary realized Isaiah was speaking of her. It's me. The word is speaking about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see yourself in the scriptures, like Paul that we read about in Acts 23:10, it says there arose a great dissension, and the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be pulled to pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. He said, my God, they're going to kill the man. Go get him. And that night following, while he was in the castle, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So where is Paul headed? To Rome. Why? God said so. How's he going to get there? The circumstances doesn't matter. He will get there because God said so. And on his way there, there arose a great storm. 14 days and nights, no man ate anything. That's some kind of a storm. The way we love to eat, that was some kind of storm. 14 days and nights. And nobody took one bite of nothing. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and this loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, amen, whose I am and whom I serve, amen, saying, fear not, Paul. Amen. Oh, God, let us hear those words today. Amen. It's such a neurotic age. Fear not, little bride. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Why? Why did the angel come and tell that to Paul? How could he say such a thing? He was saying what God had already said. You know, people come up for prayer and they say, well, the devil said this and the devil said that and the devil said this. And I think sometimes they can't quote two good quotes, but they can tell you everything the devil said. And sometimes I wonder, why do we listen to him? Why do you even listen to him? Amen. Stay with the word. If you're going to quote something, say what the word says. I am an overcomer. I am a son of God. By his stripes I'm healed. Well, I don't feel healed. That's got nothing to do with it. We're not healed because we feel like it. We're healed because the word says so. Amen. How could the angel say such things? He was saying what has already been said. You must be a witness of me at Rome. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God. Anybody here believe God? Then be happy. Be of good cheer. Well, Brother Darrell, the economy and this and that. And listen to me. Trump ain't going to fix it. Biden ain't going to fix it. I'm not looking to them. I'm looking to a higher order. Amen. He told us these things would come to pass. He said when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. We're not going down. We're going up. Well, Brother Darrell, they said, one of our generals said by 2025 we'll be in a war with China. And they got all these nuclear weapons. And they all they got to do is push a button. But let me tell you something. The prophet of God said, if they push that button before the bomb ever hits the United States, this bride will be in glory. Then what are we? We're just one button push away. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that they sounded out and heard land. And some of the people on the ship started letting down these little boats, acting like they were letting down anchors. If I remember right, the Bible said they were doing it under color. But Paul said, listen to me. You better stay off those websites. You better not get off this ship. Get on some of these other ships. Listen to me. The prophet of God said there's all kind of boats in Noah's day, but there's only one boat that floated. This is what I'm going to leave the message, because I just want to get closer to Christ. Yeah, and then you look at Facebook and they're wearing shorts and drinking beer. They're really getting close. Come on, somebody. Listen, young people, stay away from that nonsense. Stay with the word. What did Paul tell them? Listen to me, brothers. You better abide with this ship. You better cut them boats loose and let them go. And I say, cut loose of the world. Cut loose of the things of the world. Don't you see what this nation's trying to do? They're trying to divide us. The prophet of God said that the Native Americans lost this country. Why? Because they were divided among themselves. And the prophet said in the seals, he said, now remember, America, you sowed it. Now you're going to reap it. And what are they doing right now? They're trying to divide us by skin color. Come on, somebody. You might as well say, man. They're trying to divide us by skin color. They're trying to divide us by political affiliation. They're even trying to divide us by vaccinations. But that's Satan's tactic. That's always been his tactic. It's to divide and to conquer. But I say to you, little bride, we are united. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. God made us the way he wanted us to be. Amen. Well, I don't know where that come from, but that's all right. The ship finally broke up from the storm. But notice what they did. They took pieces of the ship and floated into the shore. And building a fire to get dry and to warm. Paul goes and gathers kindling. Now what a great lesson that is. Now Paul could have said, listen boys, I'm the church age messenger. I'm the man of the hour. I'm the prophet. So I'm going to sit here and now you boys go out there and get the wood. No. He led by example. You see, people's got it so wrong. The bride is not a servant to the ministry, but the ministry is a servant to the bride. The gift that's in Brother Samuel's life and Brother Luis's life and Brother Wade's life and these other brothers' life, Brother Black and different ones, that gift that's in their life is not for them. It's for you. God gave you that gift here. Then use the gifts that's among you. Amen. Paul, he didn't sit back there and say, you boys, I'm just going, you know, you got any grapes? I'm just going, you know. No, he went out there and was gathering up wood. And bringing it in, unbeknownst to Paul, there was a viper that was in the wood. And as he's throwing it in the fire, it struck him on the hand. And the Bible said that these heathens, because I can't say the other word, if you excuse me, they sat down to watch him die. Yeah, right. And they said, this man must be some kind of evil to escape the storm and now be bit by a deadly snake. Now the venom attacks the nervous system of this particular snake and it shuts down the breathing and they swell up and they die suddenly. Yeah. ain't no need to call 911. You're dead before you get the one dialed. They didn't even offer him any help. They didn't even offer him any first aid. They just sat down to watch him die. And that venom coming up through Paul's body, all at once that venom met faith. Faith in the word that says you've got to go to Rome and appear to Caesar. And when the venom met faith, there was, oh God, there was no more poison in the venom. Paul took the word of God over the fear of a deadly snake bite. He just pitched it into the fire and gathered up more wood. And the people of the island said, he ain't a murderer. He's a god. My Lord, think about that. Those heathens recognized that a man manifesting the word for his hour is deity in flesh. They said, Paul didn't say. Paul didn't, well, I didn't die because I'm a, he didn't say. They said that. Oh, God will make your enemy testify of who you are. A son of God manifesting the word for his day is deity in flesh. You got a quote for that? Yeah, I do. I'm glad you asked. The prophet said, when a son of God by faith takes the word of God into his heart and speaks it back upon his lips, it's just the same as deity speaking. When he sat down and he didn't die, they changed their mind. They said, this man's a god. When snake venom met faith, the three Hebrew children stayed true to God's word that they would not bow their knee to the king's commandment. And he heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it ever been heated. So hot that it killed the men who threw them in there. You talking about insanity. They was trying to hurt the three Hebrew children and they killed their own men. Well, let me say this. The devil will destroy his own kingdom trying to stop this bride. But I want the devil to know this morning, he will never stop this bride. Amen. They threw those boys in the fire and they testified, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were the seed of Abraham. And they had a promise of God that his seed would possess the enemy's gates. So they knew the king and his kingdom was not the gate possessors. They were the gate possessors. Why? Because they were the seed of Abraham and they stayed, oh God, not on emotion, not on sensation, but based on the word of God. I am the seed of Abraham and I am the gate possessor. Listen to me, saints of God. The devil does not control the gate. You do. We are the royal seed of Abraham through Christ. Did the natural seed possess the gate? Yes, they did. Samson ripped up the gates, backed them up on the hill, threw them down, said, you want your gates, boys? Come up and get them.
Amen.
And they stayed with God's word. They had a promise that when the king's fiery furnace met faith, faith took the heat and the smoke.
Yes.
Out of the fire. You see, the fire was still there. Because when the king looked in, if the fire had been gone, he said, hey, it went out, relight it. But when he looked in, he still saw the flames. Oh, God. Woo! It's about this time we get happy at my church. I'm going to try to behave. But think about that. He took the heat and the smoke, the fire was still there.
Amen.
But when the king's fire met the faith of the Hebrew children, God took the heat and the smoke out of the fire. That's the God we serve. He turns water into wine. How many times does he have to do it before we'll believe him? Oh, glory to God. What about Daniel thrown in a lion's den? Yeah. Them lions knew they had an easy meal. That's a happy meal. There's nowhere for the man to go. And no doubt they had ate several men in their lifetime. They had an appetite for human flesh. And when they saw Daniel there, they said, yum, yum, here he comes. Think about it. They thought, oh my, this is an easy meal. Nowhere for him to go. But when the hungry lions met faith, faith locked their jaws. The prophet said the pillar of fire stood between Daniel and the lions, and the lions went off and meowed like kittens. It went from a roar to meow, meow, meow. Oh, I'm having a good time. A woman with a blood issue. 12 years. The bleeding would not stop. Can you imagine how nervous that would make you? Can you imagine how timid, afraid to go out in public, to be called unclean? 12 years. The bleeding would not stop. Spent all of her money. The prophet said she sold the farm and everything. But she saw Jesus. And pressing through the crowd, she believed that Jesus was the Christ. Anybody here believe that? And she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. She believed if she touched him, she would get what she asked for. And she slipped through the crowd and reached over. No doubt she was small in stature, and all the people pressing in trying to touch him. She couldn't get over their shoulders, but it was because of her stature and her timid. She was got down and was reaching through their legs. You say, how could you say that? Because she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't touch his shoulder. She didn't touch his back. She was all the way down, probably reaching between their legs. And as soon as she touched him, he stopped. And if her faith can stop Jesus, your faith can stop him this morning. Amen. She slipped through the crowd. She reached over and she touched him, believing that she said would what happened, that it would happen. Yes. Notice, Jesus never said, listen, sis, if you touch my garment, you'll get well. Jesus never said it. Peter never said, listen, I'm one of his right-hand men. Let me tell you, you want to get a hold of him? Here's how you get a hold of him. You just touch. Peter never said that. Jesus never said that. Who said, if I could touch his garment? Amen. She said it. Amen. And she believed what she said. Oh God. And her words became the very word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Her words become, we read her words today. And her own words brought it into manifestation, amen. And I say to you, speak to that storm. Speak to that habit. Speak to that fear. Jesus never said it. Peter never said it. She said it. And her words became his words. Her faith that he was the Christ brought her own words into manifestation. And when a blood issue that eluded the doctors for 12 years met faith, the bleeding stopped. Why? Faith masters every circumstance. I was in France a few years ago. As a sister came to, she was a Catholic, someone invited her to the service. She's sitting right here with her brother, sitting with the cane. She speaks French. I barely speak English. Somebody asked me one time, said, you speak a foreign language? I said, yeah, English. I couldn't understand her. She couldn't understand me. But at the end of the service, I felt sorry for the woman. And I just reached down, and she was standing there with her hand on the cane. And I just laid my hand over on her cane, on her hand that was on the cane. And I said, Father, this poor woman's probably had a rough life, probably don't understand anything that was spoke today. But God, in her old age, just have mercy on her. Take her off that cane. Let her spend the rest of her life without the cane. And I just went on. And the next morning, she was back in service. And she said, I want to testify. And she stood up and she said, I got up this morning. And I didn't need my cane. And I was there in 2020, right before the pandemic broke. And I was there, and I saw the sister. Since that time, she's repented of her sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, received the Holy Ghost. She had long hair. She was wearing dresses. And guess what? She was vacuuming the church. Oh, God. I said, sis, you're getting younger every time I see you. You're getting younger. Oh, listen to me, little bride. We're not getting older. We're getting younger. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. I think of Joshua. God told him, Joshua, I want you to march around the walls of Jericho and they'll fall before you. Now, these walls, they say that they could run chariot races on the top of these walls. If I remember right, Rahab's house was built on top of the wall. Some historians say they were 46 foot high and 80 foot thick. And God said, Joshua, I want you to go up there, march around so many times, sound the trumpet, let out a shout, and the walls are going to fall down. Sir, should I bring a wrecking bar? Nope. Backhoe? Nope. Bulldozer? Case of dynamite? Just go up there, march around, blow a trumpet, and shout. And the walls are going to fall down. Just obey my word. That's so silly to the carnal mind. People even get quiet when you talk about it, and it's in the Bible. 46 foot high, 80 foot thick. And I found this. I thought it was so good. The prophet said, Joshua, knowing how thick those walls was, because he built plenty of them down in Egypt. He knew the cement that was in them, how tight they were to hold them together. Chariot races on top of them, even built houses on top of them. And Joshua knew all of this from an intellectual understanding. But Joshua did not lean to his own understanding. He believed what God said was the truth. And he obeyed his word. And the walls fell down. Leaning not to his own understanding. Joshua looked at the unseen. And he walked around the walls believing it would happen. You see, it all depends on what you're looking at. But we don't look with the eyes of our head. We look with the eyes of our heart. And with 46 high, 46 foot high walls met faith. The walls came down. Jairus' daughter lay dead. The mourners gathered to mourn and they said, trouble not the master anymore. Your little girl is dead. Oh, that's such a solid word when you hear that word dead. Just whoop. But you see, Jesus gave Jairus the remedy. Jesus gave Jairus the remedy to every bad report. He touched Jairus on the shoulder and he said two words. Only believe. That's all he ever asked us to do. Not to figure it out, not to reason it out, not to even work it out. Just believe. Only believe. Jesus standing at the grave of Lazarus, a man that had been dead 4 days. Corruption had done set in. Even his sister said, Lord, he stinks. But when a dead man, oh God, met a man who had faith in what the word said he was. The prophet of God said Jesus had perfect faith because he believed in what the word said that he was. Can you believe this morning in what the word says you are? We are not a denomination. We are not an organization. We are not just a church member body, but we are the body of Jesus Christ manifested on the earth. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. The prophet said, she is him. Hallelujah. When a dead man met a man who had faith in what the word said he was, and Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. A man that had been dead 4 days stood on his feet. When death met faith, the maniac of Gadara, let me hurry, the maniac of Gadara, the demons had him bound. The Bible said he lived among the tombs and he cut himself with stones. Still have them today. Cutters. But God is the remedy for cutters. I was in a meeting a few years ago down at the BYC camp in Louisiana. There's a sister down there that was a cutter. She had all these scars up and down her arms where she'd cut herself. And in this particular, I believe it was the sunrise service, if I remember right. But in this particular service, the people was praising the Lord. And the sister said, Lord, I want to praise you so much. I want to raise my hands to you so much. But I've got these scars and I'm ashamed of them. And she said, a voice spoke to her and said, raise your arms and give me praise. And when that sister raised her arms, the scars disappeared off of her arms. Oh, hallelujah. Your back's against the wall. Praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, just lift your hands and say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And you can praise your hurt away. Hallelujah. Cut himself with stones. They tried to chain him and tame him. But he'd break the chains and fetters. And no man could tame him. They tried to make him a good message believer, giving him a few books and a picture of the pillar of fire. But you see, our young people need a birth. The token must be applied. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. Come on, somebody. We're not going because we believe God sent a prophet. The devil believes that. We're going because the token has been applied. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You think you don't need this? You need this, young man. Yes. Yes. Satan's just waiting to cut your throat out there. You better listen to me. You better hide beneath the blood. America's seen this better days. Prophet said it's going to get gradually. No, he said not gradually, but quickly get worse and worse and worse. You know, I read a study the other day. They said that darkness, you place somebody in darkness and isolation, it leads to total insanity. And you take the darkness of Laodicea and the isolation of the pandemic. And that's why they're killing each other on the streets right now. And did not our prophet of God say it will come to pass that they will go totally insane? It's crazy.
Yes, sir.
When a man thinks he's a woman and wins a swim meet and they give him a trophy. They should give him shock treatments. Come on, somebody. That's insane. When a man wins what? Miss Universe. Because he's just like a woman and they go along with it. It reminds me when I was a little boy and reread, what was that book? The Emperor's New Clothes. Anybody remember that? He was going down the street naked and everybody, oh, well, the clothes are beautiful. And somebody said, are you crazy? He ain't got no clothes on. They have lost their minds. And if you go along with it, you need help. I'm sorry. Amen. Well, that's not politically correct. I ain't interested in being politically correct, honey. That's the least of my worries. Come on, somebody. Well, they'll shut you up. They'll never shut us up. The prophet said God will take us up. Amen. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But anyway, this man, let me hurry. This man, he was demon-possessed, living among the tombs, cutting himself day and night. And no man could tame him. Though they tried to tame him. They tried to chain him. They tried to make him a part of society. But he would do good for a while, and then that would come back upon him. And he'd rip off the chains and rip off his clothes and go back and live among the dead. But what man could not do, faith could do. What brought Jesus to the Gadareans. It wasn't the mayor. The mayor never asked him to come. It wasn't the organization that invited him. It wasn't the pig farmers that asked him to come. They asked him to leave. What brought him to the Gadareans? It was the maniac who was living among the tombs, cutting his flesh, ripping off his clothes. But he wanted help. And the needy soul was crying out for deliverance. And Jesus on the other side of the sea heard his invite of faith. And Jesus crossed the stormy sea to get to that one soul crying out for help. And he's the same Jesus this morning. He'll come from glory for one needy soul in this building. He'll come every time where he's wanted. He'll come every time where he's wanted. You need to put that on your refrigerator. He'll come every time where he's wanted. But he'll never come to where he's doubted. Well, I don't know if he can help me. Don't worry. That doubt will keep him away. If you're doubting him, just remember, he will never be at your door. So don't doubt. Just believe. Well, the doctor said mine's the worst case he ever saw. It's just a greater miracle. But if you love him and you want him, he'll come any time that you call for him to come. He's ready to come. Then that tells me right now in Lula, Georgia, he is ready to meet every need that's in this building this morning. He don't want our money. Come on, somebody. He never asked for our money, but he did ask us to believe him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. He heard his cry of faith. And if you heard his cry of faith, he'll hear your cry of faith. You see, that great storm could not stop Jesus from coming. It could not drown out that cry of faith. And let me say, there is nothing that Satan has that can stop faith from touching Jesus. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. You know, you feel sorry for some people. They build so many walls around their life. They won't let him in. Oh, won't you tear the walls down, friends? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way that you can touch him. You must believe when you call on his name. Listen, I'll hurry. When faith cometh from an honest heart, when faith from an honest heart meets God, them cogs just comes together like that, and something has to take place. I challenge this audience, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your faith connect with God like that, and in a few minutes, we'll have another Pentecost. There'll be such a revival breakout in this town that there won't be enough cops in the country to keep them down. That's right, there will be a real revival when your faith meets him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen, you young people, listen to this right here. You don't go to hell because you're a sinner. You go to hell because you refuse to accept the way away from hell. There's a bypass, and that's Christ. There's a bypass from your sickness, from a quick death, from a premature grave, and that's through Christ. Now, you sinned in the beginning. You sinned in the beginning, and Christ died for your sins. Therefore, he saved you when he died. He saved you, and he healed you when he died, for he took your place. Now, all you have to do is accept it by faith and receive it, because there's nothing more to be done. Your healing is already paid for. Oh, can I tell it again? I was in a restaurant here the other day, and the waitress comes. She said, "Now, y'all want anything else?" I said, "No, ma'am, we're fine. We could just have the check." And she said, "Well, somebody saw you in here, and they paid for your meal. It's already paid for." I said, "Well, let me leave a tip." "No, they left the tip too. It's all took care of." Now, I had one or two things. I could have sat there and argued with her. Said, "No, I don't see nobody here that I know. You sure you've got the right table? I don't want to walk out of here and that meh, meh, meh. Here come the cops. I could have argued with her. I could have, there ain't no way, no, I want to pay for it. I want to make sure it's paid for. Or I could have accepted it.
Yes.
And so, you know what I said? I said, I received that. Thank you. Whoever done that, thank you. To this day, I still don't know who done it. But in your case, you know who done it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did it for you. And if you was the only person in Lula, Georgia, the only young person, he would have went to Calvary for you. If you was the only person ever sick, he would have took every stripe on his back for your healing. That's how much he loves you. Sometimes it's so hard for us to accept love. But I want you to understand, man's love may be conditional. You do this, I'll do that. But that's not the way God works. His love is unconditional. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and died for us. Amen. If you can accept it, if you can receive it this afternoon, it's yours. There's nothing more to be done. Your healing's already paid for. You can have it there right this afternoon. You can have it right now. The very minute you believe it, when your faith meets God's requirements. But you know, I got to quit. Do you know we live in such an impatient age. Before the preaching even starts, people's looking at their watch. It's truth. You know, years ago, a man living in the east and his family out west, he would write a letter. John, how you doing? He'd give it to a guy on a horse. He'd ride that horse to death, give it to another guy, ride the horse to death, another guy, ride the horse. About a month or so later, John would get the letter and he'd answer it. And they'd ride a horse to death and ride a horse to death and ride a horse to death. And he'd get the answer to his letter and John'd say, doing pretty good. But now, we live in an age when we send a text. If it don't go through, you're smacking your phone.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That's right. I'm not going to ask who's guilty, but I can see it on your face. But you see, God don't always work that way. Congressman Upshaw fell and broke his back as an 18-year-old boy. 62 years later. He'd come out of a wheelchair. How many years did he pray for his healing? But he believed God and he held on. It don't matter when it happens. Circumstances don't matter. Just be found believing. I was in Romania. There's a young girl came up. She's a gypsy girl. And she was born without a hip. And when she walked, her leg just swung like this. She's on a crutch. And when she stopped walking, she'd have to stop her leg from swinging. And she come up on a Friday night. Kenny Capps had the morning service. I had the night services. And she come up on a Friday night and she wanted to repent of her sins. And she worked that leg to get down on her knees. I said, sis, I said, you don't have to do that. You can stand right there and accept Christ as your Savior. But she wanted to get down on her knees. And she worked that leg till she got down. And I thought, how many people have two good legs and never bow before God?
Right, buddy. Come on.
She'll condemn a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And she repented of her sins. The next day, she went out on a Saturday morning after the service in an icy river with that crutch and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. She came back to the altar that night and she said, I want God to heal me. She said, I want to be a wife. I want to have children. She said, who would marry me like this? You know what I said, sis? You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd quit asking God for my healing and I'd start thanking Him for it. I said, you take a bar of soap. I've got one on my mirror right now at home. You take a bar of soap and write on that mirror, He is my healer.
Yes.
I said, when you get up in the morning, you thank God for healing you. When you go to bed at night, you thank God for healing you.
Right.
And I said, when God heals your hip, you take this handkerchief, you put it under your pillow, and when God heals your hip, send it back to me as a testimony of what He done for you.
Amen.
3 years went by. I get an email from a girl named Christina. Didn't even know her name. She said, Brother, I've been trying to find you. She said, I did what you told me to do. She said, I went everywhere testifying. And she said, it got so bad that my friends, when I stood up to testify, my friends would kind of snigger and make fun of me because I still own that crutch. She said, my mom and daddy told me to quit testifying because I was no better. She said, but I didn't listen to him, Brother Darrell. I kept testifying everywhere I went. And she said, I was in a service and I stood up and said, I want to testify of God healing my leg. And she said, one of my friends said, here she goes again. And she said, Brother Darrell, when I said that, my hip popped. And I laid the crutch down. Hallelujah. A few years ago, I was up at BYC and a brother came up to me and said, Brother Darrell, I'm from Romania. And he said, there's a sister there named Christine. I said, oh yeah. I said, isn't it wonderful what the Lord done for her? He said, Brother Darrell, I was in the meeting. I was there when it happened. He said, I saw her leg. Hallelujah. When a crippled leg met faith, the crippled leg went away. Amen. I was in Ohio and a sister came up. She had a tumor behind her ear about the size of an egg. It swung when she walked and she come up for prayer. And when I laid my hands on her neck and touched it, it made me so sick I thought I was going to vomit. But this woman's faith was so great. I thought this, that we're fixing to have church. This thing's fixing to fall off in the floor. We're going to have us some church tonight. Her faith was so great. And listen, friends, I have never been so disappointed in my life when she turned around and walked off and that tumor was still there. I was talking to Brother David Siler. I said, Brother David, I don't understand it. Why that did not fall off? Well, I guess the Lord must have heard me whining. Because a few days later, I got a text from Wayne Lawson. You know Brother Wayne. He did your New Year's Eve. He said, Brother Darrell, I'm up here in Ohio. I said, their sister, do you know Brother Darrell? I said, yeah, I know Brother Darrell. She said, will you send him a text and tell him that 2 days after he prayed for me, I was walking through my house and the tumor fell off in the floor. Hallelujah. Just be found believing. I was Alton, Missouri. There's a sister came up that was paralyzed on her right side. Her mouth was drawn up towards her ear. And she come walking like this. And she came up to where I was at. She said, I want you to pray for me. I've had a stroke. I want you to pray for me. I had a stroke. So I laid my hands on her. And the saints of God, we all prayed for her. She turned around and drugged herself off. And the devil said, see there? She came up for help. And you couldn't even help her. You know what I told the devil? I'm not the healer. Amen. Jesus Christ is the healer. Amen. No man can heal. Come on, somebody. No doctor can heal. No medicine can heal. God is our healer. I said, I'm not the healer. I did what he told me to do. He told me to lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. A year later, I was back down there in Alton, Missouri. This sister came in carrying deer meat. She went out, come in carrying green beans. Went out, come in carrying. I said, do I know you? She said, yes, you do. I said, was you here last year when I preached? She said, yes, I was. I said, didn't you come up and you was paralyzed on your right side? She said, yes, I did. I said, you're doing real good now, ain't you? She said, oh, yes, I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When lesions on a liver meets faith, the MRI is clear. That's the God we serve. Amen. Can I have just 5 women? I want to drop this in. I want to drop this in and we'll close right here. I want to look at hope versus faith. Now listen to this. This is amazing. This is a quote. It's not my words. This is a quote. Hope versus faith. Now hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say it's true. Hope will say I believe every bit of it. Hope will say I believe it's God's word. Hope will say I believe God keeps his promise. Hope believes all that. But then hope says, now I believe God will heal, but look at my condition. Now friends, we all believe God's a healer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We all believe God keeps his word. Yeah. And Satan will come to us and say, yeah, God heals cancer. But yours is the worst case the doctors ever saw. And hope will look to that. Hope will say, God is my healer. But the devil says, yeah, God heals, but he's not going to heal you. That's what hope does. Hope looks at the condition. But faith don't look at that. Faith comes around and says, I don't care nothing about conditions. God said so and it's mine, you see. Faith is burly. As I once said, faith has hair on its chest. And when it stands up and pulls out its big muscles, everything vanishes away. When faith takes a hold, when you believe it and take God at his word and say it's so, amen, I believe it's so, God will bring it to pass. When you're out from under superstition, when you're out from under Babylon, when you're out from under unbelief, when you're out from under all these things and you are filled with God's own life, your voice is his voice. You are as spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus promised he would heal us. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for and you shall have it. It's yours. Believe it'll come to pass. The time don't matter. The circumstance don't matter. Just believe it'll happen. Remember, we pray and ask God sincerely. This church, we are a unit. We sung it yesterday. We are one in the Spirit. We're together. If we ask God sincerely, then God's obligated to take care of what we ask for. You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Is that the truth? Then take your faith over whatever it is that's bothering you in Jesus' name. When a demon-possessed man lived among the tombs and cut himself day and night, when the bondage of chains and the afflictions met the cry of faith, freedom and deliverance came. When snake venom met faith, poison was gone. When lions met faith, they purred like kittens. When fire met faith, the heat and smoke was annihilated. When death met faith, life came forth. When sickness met faith, the bleeding stopped. When the walls met faith, they fell down. When bondage met faith, the chains were broke. Then I ask you, whatever's bothering you, whatever's in your way, whatever the circumstance may be, whatever the bondage is, whatever the sickness is, whatever the fear is, what's going to happen when it meets your faith? When you believe what the word is saying about you, I am a seed of Abraham. Do you believe? Then what's bothering you this morning as we bow our heads? If I kept you too long, forgive me. I believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your promises are true. You are our healer. I've seen you open the blinded eyes of my daughter. I've seen you make the lame walk in my daughter. Thou art God. We serve an awesome God. There is no God like our God. Lord, we praise you this morning. In the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our doctor's reports, in the midst of every negative report, in the midst of a rebellious child. Oh God, in the midst of all these things, we stand on the word of God this morning. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are the sustainer of our lives. We give our children. We give our lives, our wives. We give our husbands. We give all in all to you this morning. We deliver it into your hands. Oh, hallelujah. May the Holy Ghost go after our wayward boys. Go after our wayward children. Go, amen, hallelujah. May the Holy Ghost bind up the broken marriages. May the Holy Ghost today move upon those that are lame and crippled. Oh, God, may it move upon those who struggle with minds. Oh, God, grant it today, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave, Satan, you're defeated this morning. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people for the glory of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I believe, I believe. I speak the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus. Oh, over every fear, over every sickness, over every bondage, over every doubt, over every besetting sin. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe it this morning, friends? Then I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You got a complex that's tormenting your life? Why don't you give it to Jesus today? You got a fear that's tormenting your life? Why don't you give it to Jesus today? You got a besetting sin? You got a habit that's tormenting you? Why don't you just give it to Jesus today? Oh, high blood, low blood, no blood. My God can take care of any circumstance. Oh, there is no sickness. There is no storm. There is no fear. There is no doubt. There is no power that's greater than our God this morning. The Bible said they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You need a revival? Ask Him. You need the Holy Ghost? Ask Him. You need deliverance? Ask Him this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lay your hands on one another now. Hallelujah. Do you believe Him? Hallelujah. Oh, do you believe Him this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Giver of every good gift. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ. We lay our hands upon one another, as saith the word of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Father, we believe that to be true today. And we lay our hands on one another. I pray, Almighty God, by the same anointing that raised our Lord from the grave, may it rise today, dear God, in the midst of the sanctuary, from one to the other to the other. Oh God, we surrender to you today. Let us be a conduit, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit flow from one to the other. To the other. Let a revival break out, dear God, that'll shake Lula, Georgia once more by the power of the Almighty God. Heal our sick. Save our lost today. We believe you, Lord. We believe you today. And we declare, I am an overcomer. I am a believer. I am a son and daughter of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every fear. We rebuke it. Oh, thou who healed that sister in Romania, thou who healed Sister Vera Frost. Oh God, you're no respect of persons. May you move today, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Flow through us, Holy Spirit. Flow through us, Holy Spirit. We are your body, dear God. Oh, we're bringing thy word into manifestation. This is what you said for us to do, Lord. Oh God, grant it today. Let fear disappear. Let sickness disappear. Let phobias, let depression, let oppression, let tumors disappear out of bodies. Oh, grant it today, God. Let the doctors be astounded. Let our wayward children come back to the cross. Oh, God, we believe, Lord. We believe, Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Let us see you, Lord, in the midst of your people, dear God. Thou who took the scars off that sister's arms in Louisiana. Oh, God. Thou who took the cancer out of Brother Tidwell's ear up in Ohio. Thou art God, Lord. There is no God like our God. We praise you in the midst of the sanctuary, Lord. We lift our voices unto you. Our healer, our deliverer, our king, our bridegroom, our friend, our all in our all. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, shake off those chains. Shake it off this morning. Shake off that viper that's trying to bite you. Shake it off into the fire of God's eternal word this morning. And go free. And go free. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation. I was in Ohio at Brother Jonathan Martin's. It was during the pandemic and people were staying at home streaming it. That night people came up for prayer and we was praying for the people. And all of a sudden there's a sister standing there and I said, do you need something from the Lord? She said, I was home streaming the service. and God healed me. And she said, I got in my car and drove all the way to church to tell the people God healed me while I was listening at home.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There is no God.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
My God.
I was in Maryland. There was a sister named Sister Betty. She had glaucoma so bad. She had on sunglasses because the lights of the church hurt her eyes. She was going to Monday to see an eye specialist for glaucoma. And she came up for prayer. The saints of God prayed for Sister Betty. She goes to the eye doctor on Monday. The doctor examined her eyes. And you know what he said? Whoever sent you here needs their eyes examined. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. I was at Brother Rich Cobb's and I shared that testimony. There's a brother sitting in the back with cataracts on his eyes. Was up for surgery, if I understand it right. He was sitting in the back and he said, God, if you can do that for Sister Betty, you can do it for me. And he stood up and testified. He said, the cataracts just fell off of my eyes.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve, friends. That's the kind of God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Come and lead us in a song. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Good job, brother.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let's just worship him a little bit. Let's thank him now for what he's done for us. Amen. Let's thank him. We're not done yet. Let's thank him. Let's just thank him. Let's sing Touching Jesus. Is all that really matters. You love him today? You've heard the word of the Lord. You've heard a man move himself out of the way and let God take over and answer every one of your needs. You know what? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have brothers come by for testimony like that. That makes us believers. Did you believe? Did you believe what he's saying?
Amen.
Then that makes you a believer.
Right.
Amen. You believe what he said. So let's just sing this song.
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and then your life will never be the same.
Think about it. Touching
watching Jesus is all.
For my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my deliverance.
You're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Oh, you lead me and you guide me.
You're dwelling inside.
You're a comfort to me.
Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Touching Jesus, it's all that really matters.
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Oh, there is only one way to touch it, and just believe.
He's come by your way today.
You will reach out and touch him. He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is
back. Then reach out and touch
by
him.
This moment,
I challenge you to reach out and touch
needs
him.
To
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
His wonder.
Praise your name, Lord.
Your sorrow
Brother Darrell, everybody lay hands on each other and we'd have a prayer. And then when he said that, I said, Lord, that's just like it was. It's a tabernacle. I could hear Brother Branham say, you know, today just reach over and take somebody by the hand or reach over and touch it. So we're going to see something great today. Amen. You know what? God spoke to me and he said, I'm the same here as I was there.
Amen.
He's the same here. We love to revel in the days of Brother Branham and listen to the prayer lines. What about today? Right. What about right now? Amen. Same God, same atmosphere, same people. The bride. They were bride back there, the bride here. Amen. God bless you. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. See what you miss when you don't come to church? This is good. I like this. You know, you miss a lot. But you know what you miss? You miss fellowshipping with God.
Right.
Because he just dropped down after we laid hands on each other. He just dropped. And you could see the virtue go out of that man. You see him? He poured his heart out. He ain't got nothing left. And that's okay. You know, my football coach, he said, we might get beat 60-0. He said, but if I have to drag you off the field and you look up at me and say, I did my best, he said, that's all I want to hear.
That's right.
So today, Brother Darrell did his best. And you did your best by pulling on the gift. And I believe we're going to see a lot. That's why we bring ministers in. That's why we have special meetings. It's not for Brother Darrell or myself. It's for you. It's for you to get something. For you to get something fresh from God. And if you'll be seated just for a few minutes, what Sister Bella wants to give her testimony just for a little bit. And before we dismiss. And everybody's got something to give, so our sister's going to give us a this one. Okay.
I'll just make it quick, but pretty much when we came back from Nicaragua, it felt like really any other trip that I've gone to, because you know I grew up with missionary parents, and so it's nothing. Whenever you go, usually you just expect the same mundane thing. My dad goes and preaches, it's super hot, and then it's just a lot of rice and beans. It's just a very mundane thing for me because I've just been doing it for so long, right? And, you know, I was able to take Nyla, Michael, and Jordan with me, and that was super great. Loved it. But the entire camp, nothing really happened in terms of me being able to bring something back. And in my mind, that wasn't that big of a deal because I wasn't expecting to say anything anyway. But then Brother Wade asked me to say something, and then I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say because nothing happened this time. And so when we got back home, you know, I made some new friends. So, you know, they all found me on Instagram. They all wanted my number. So, you know, we were texting back and forth. I was texting one of my friends, and we were just talking, and she started telling me about what had happened to her a year ago. And she said that she had had this 10-plus year relationship with these two girls. And she said that jealousy and envy got in between their relationship, and it completely broke everything off. And so pretty much what happened was she got super backstabbed a bunch of times, and she ended up falling into depression and anxiety. She got diagnosed. She was taking meds for it. And during that entire time, she was having to take medication for it. And she lost a bunch of weight because of it. And I had seen her at the camps, but I didn't really talk to her. But she found me, and so we were just texting back and forth. And she said, I just lost a bunch of weight. And I feel terrible because I can't gain that weight back. And as soon as she said that, it clicked to me. That reminded me exactly of my mom. Because my mom, all of her life, has been super skinny. And all of you know that that's just her makeup. And she, when she was growing up, she would cry about it because it was something so sensitive to her that she couldn't control. And so I started telling her about my mom. And then she was telling me, but your mom's so beautiful. Your mom's so talented. And in my head, I've always seen my mom as normal looking, but I know that she's skinny. I know she's not exactly the skinny that everyone else sees, but I've always seen her as very normal because I grew up with her.
Right.
And so this sister, her name is Isa, she was telling me, but your mom's so beautiful. She walks around with so much confidence, and she's so tall. And the sisters in Nicaragua are super short, okay? So she's like, she's so tall, she's so light-skinned, she's so pretty. I'm all dark, I'm super short. My hair's not that thick, I'm super skinny, I'm skin and bone. I don't play any instruments, I don't sing. And I just started telling her about my mom, and I could feel that her faith was building up from the other side of the screen.
Amen.
And
thank you, Lord.
She,
go,
I haven't talked to her in a few days. But her brother has told me that she's been singing her heart out. And that she hasn't stopped smiling. And I didn't expect anything to happen after Nicaragua.
Yeah.
I really just thought that I'm just a minister's daughter. That's it. And so that's just all I had to say, and I didn't even think I was going to cry. But she's such a close friend to me. I don't have an older sister. She's 20. And so my relationship with her has just grown so close. Man. And I'm just so proud of her and what she's able to do now. It's only been a couple of days since I told her that, but she's apparently improving so much in her self-confidence and everything else. So I just want you guys to keep her in prayer because she deserves the absolute best. Okay. Her name is Sister Isa. She's 20 years old. She lives in Chinandega. So just keep her in your prayers, okay?
When you don't think anything's happening, don't worry. Something's happening. Let's stand to our feet. Anybody have anything else? We've had a good day. We've had a real good day. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good to have you all with us. Thank you for serving the Lord in the way that you feel like serving the Lord. Just Rebecca, do you have your hand up? Yeah, come on. Everybody sit back down.
Amen. I was going to give this testimony earlier, but I didn't have time, and I was asking Brother. Thank you, Brother Terry. But it was too late, so I said, Lord, if you want me to give this testimony, at the end of the service, let somebody speak up and say, does anybody else got something to say? So that's right there. Thank you. I know the story of the prodigal son, and I have a testimony of, I'm wondering, it's similar, but it's the prodigal daughter, and it got to do with me and my mother. We grew up in the message. So growing up in the message, we would go to tape services and we would visit other churches, and it was just normal to me. It was normal. It was the norm. It wasn't nothing unusual. So as I was growing up, though, it wasn't like I was exactly knowing what was going on. It was just kind of like it's just something you do. You get up and go to church, and that's it. We knew about my mom, testimonies and stuff, and my dad also was a believer. So it was normal. So as I got older, I drifted away. So I wasn't, as I see some of you young people, you sticking in church, you're doing good. I drifted away. My family broke up and everything, so we was already in a broken situation. So when your family's not together, you kind of hey, okay, I'm free. I didn't have nobody kind of supervising me too much. When we got out there, we just was free. We lived in a neighborhood full of kids, so we would just go hang out and have fun. But anyway, as I turned into a teenager, like I said, I took some path that I'm not too proud of, and I was staying with my mom at the time. I was 14. I was staying with my mother, and I started being really rebellious, skipping school. I didn't like the situation I was in living with her, and she was a good mom, but at the time, my stepdad, I wasn't used to him. He was really strict, and my biological father wasn't. So when my stepdad is around now, he's telling me what to do, and you need to watch her at school, go check on her at school. I was like, man, what is this? This is just, my life is ruined, you know, because my dad never was like that, my real dad. So anyway, that started changing my mother's attitude, because he's getting on her to get on me. And I started getting rebellious to her, because now she's becoming a new person. So I started getting really out of hand, skipping school and everything. So finally they came to me one day and was like, look, we're going to give you a decision to make. Either you abide by the rules or you go move with my dad. So to me, that sounds like the golden, like, thank you. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. This is like the golden voice I wanted to hear. So I jumped on that. I was like, I want to go stay with Dad because I knew my dad wasn't going to be monitoring me. And at that age, you feel like, man, this is the beginning of life, you know. And I went to go live with my dad. But that was the beginning of hell gates opening up for me as well. And I end up stealing my older sister's ID. She was 6 years older than me. I stole her ID, end up getting a permit with her age on it, but my face on the picture. So I'm 20, so I can go anywhere in Atlanta. And that's exactly what I did. Went around all over Atlanta, different clubs and doing all these things. And one day I got caught up, really, it started getting darker and darker. Like when you start entering into sin, it take you further than you thought you was going to go. Because it's enticing at first, and it's like, wow, I can do all these things. And Satan is just telling you exactly what to do, how to do it, how to sneak around and do it. But he don't tell you how deep he's about to take you. And he took me really, really deep, where I'm not going to say a lot of things, but use your imagination. So I started working at an adult club at 14, okay? And like I said, it got really deep and dark. I started isolating myself from my parents. My brothers and sisters, they was already in college and kind of on their own, so it was just me. I didn't have nobody to answer to. Nobody was monitoring over me, so I just started isolating myself. I didn't keep in touch with my family. At this time, my dad was going through his own thing, so I was on my own. I moved out from him, was living in a place by myself, like a rooming house, so we had like different roommates and stuff. So my mom had no idea where I was at. This was over a period of 2 years. So I was 16 now. So one day, I'll let her tell this part. Oh, one day when I was getting ready to go to work that day at the place I was working at, a club, I left my key inside of the club. So when I took a cab home, I realized I didn't have my house key. I couldn't get in. So I went back to the spot I was working at, but it was already closed. So I had to make a decision to go stay at the hotel that was close by. And I just figured, okay, I'll just get up in the morning and go to work. I don't usually work in the morning. I usually work at night. So that morning I woke up, went back to the club, went back there and got sat down and ate and everything. Somebody came back there and said, somebody here to see you, a lady. And I'm like, a lady? You know, in that lifestyle, you used to a man coming to see you. So when I hear a lady here to see you, I'm like, what? So I come out, and from where I'm at, I look down, probably like the same distance of the double doors. I look down, I see like a small image of a lady that's shaped like my mother. And Lord holes, no, this my mom is at this spot where I'm at. And I'm super shocked because she didn't know where I was at. And I'll let her tell the part that. How she got there.
Well, when I couldn't find Rebecca, I was just praying all the time, every day. I didn't know where to find her. I don't know what happened to her. And I know one day I was walking home from the bus, and someone pulled over, a young man, wanted to give me a ride home. I knew the man, so I said, yeah. And he said, you know Rebecca, you know where Rebecca is? I said, no. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to let her know. I told you. I'm going to tell you exactly where she at. She working at a club at such and such a place. He said, don't ever, ever tell her. I was so happy he told me. Now I know to go where to find her now. So I didn't go to those places. I don't want nobody to see me that know me, see me stepping in a place like that. So when I went to the door now, I asked him, you know, I see some young lady was going inside. I asked if they know Rebecca. They said, no, we don't know who's Rebecca. I said, well, that's my daughter, you know. They said, well, that's her real name. I say, yeah. They said, no, in this place here, we don't use their real name. And she said, she going to find, she's got a young girl working here now. I bet that's her. She's going to find her. So she went back there.
Yeah, so they came back there and got me. And like I said, I look and see an image of a lady that's shaped like my mother. And I'm super shocked. But something in me was also happy. Like, it was like I needed it and didn't know I needed to see her. I didn't know. I needed to see her so bad because I was sick. I was sick, you guys. And I didn't know how sick I was, but I know. I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know how to get out of that grip. And I was so gone and so wasted away with the alcohol and the drugs and just everything, you know. So when I saw her, it was like I needed it so bad. And the best part is, she didn't judge me. She didn't come and say, "What you doing in here? Get out of here." It was like she was so happy to see me. I left that club. I left out of there, and we went back to the place I was staying at. And she just loved on me, and I needed it so much. I didn't need nobody telling me how wrong I was. I was already, I knew I was messed up. So sometimes you don't even need somebody to tell you how messed up you were. You just need that genuine, unconditional love, and that's what God put on her. And little by little, we started hanging out more and more. And I started, my sister, oldest sister, told me about signing up for school because I was still young. She was like, "Why don't you just go back to school, you know, go to this place called Job Corps." So, I went ahead and signed up, and you still kind of playing tug of war because you're so caught up in this lifestyle, but yet you know you got to get out. You know you want to get out. And they called me in 3 days and like, "Look, pack your stuff. We got a ticket. You're getting out of here in 3 days." And I signed up to go to Kentucky, school in Kentucky. That was my exit out of there, and I never went back. I ended up getting married later, not too long after that and everything. That's another story. But anyway, my point is, God used my mom like the prodigal son, and she didn't judge me, man. I tell her up to this day, just thank you so much for just having that genuine love that I needed, that unconditional love. Sometimes that's all it takes to kind of just break somebody, because if she would have fussed and handled it any kind of way, I would have just rolled out and probably went somewhere else and got lost further deeper. But I just want to share that to you young people. If you got a parent and a father that's together and they work on you guys, trust me, it's for your best entrance, because sin will take you further than you want to go and cost you way more than you was willing to pay. I promise you that.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Appreciate you sharing that, Sister Rebecca. Appreciate Mama being there, because she's the Rebecca wouldn't be here today if Mama wasn't there. She didn't act the way she did that day. Come on, Zoe. I'm learning that more and more every day that I go. Just let God do the work. You can't be their Holy Spirit. God's got to be their Holy Spirit. And when God does the work, He'll do it right. Come here, Mom. Yeah, they can see. Or you can stand right here.
So, in Nicaragua, there was a city called León. And basically, over there, in Hispanic culture, they like support like Catholicism. So there was a really big church, and it was a Catholic church. And there were like so many statues there. It was so big. And then I asked my dad, because he used to be a Catholic, what all those statues meant. He explained to me them, and I'm like, all of those statues, they don't make sense. It's kind of like cutting off pieces of a puzzle just to force it to fit it in, the like masterpiece. And I didn't understand what their rituals were. People were sitting there for hours praying. I didn't know what they were saying. It's like, why are you doing this? Why? So then I keep walking around. I keep looking at all these things. And it was just so confusing. But as soon as I walked out of that Catholic church, I felt a little more safe with my family. And I'm actually happy to be here, because I'm not being forced to pray by the amount of time a candle will like light up and then melt down. I feel really free to pray by myself or with people. Praying in the right religion is a lot better than just being a Catholic. Now that I realize that religions are not just religions, they're just basically Babylon. They're just filled with confusion.
Yeah. Amen.
And there was also another time in the island that we went to, there was a church. And it was a really small church. I was sitting there. Well, I wasn't really exactly sitting in the church. I was outside because it was really hot in the church. So I was sitting over there. And then there was a drunk man who walked, into the entrance of the church. And then he was just sitting there, putting his shoulder on the wall. And I was really, like, I didn't know if I was angry or confused or annoyed why that he was there. He just, like, suddenly made me feel angry that he was just there. So then my sister told us to get back in the, what's it called?
Sanctuary,
yeah. So then we went back to the sanctuary. And then we were just done praying. And then he walks in and he says in Spanish, "Hey, you're mentioning about God and everything, how Jesus, the Celestial Father, but then you're not mentioning about Holy Mary." And everyone there was confused. And then the pastor was like, "Oh, that's because you're a Catholic, right?" And then he was like, "No, I'm not a Catholic, I'm right." So they kind of had to take him out of the church. And I realized, well, Catholicism isn't really right. And it's really confusing as well. And it confuses that man. To add on to that, he was drunk. It confused that drunk man to thinking that he was right. So I'm really thankful to be in this church and to know that everyone here believes on the right thing. That's all I have to say.
Well, that's a miracle. That's the most I've ever heard her say anything since the time she was born.
Let me just say this. Sometimes we get scared. We're like, oh, we don't want our kids to visit that church or Catholic church or go see. Let them go see. Let them go get an experience. And then they'll come and appreciate what they have, what they've grew up.
That's right.
So we didn't. That's not what we were, our plans. But that's what she came out of that. So.
Amen. You keep that. All right, let's stand to our feet. All minds clear. Let's sing Amazing Grace.
Amen.
Let's sing Amazing Grace before we go home. And really mean it. Do you know grace?
Hallelujah.
It's amazing. Let's sing it to him.
Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise God.
We got something to praise Him.
Praise God. 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 Praise God.
The battle's over.
show.